Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Today, Carla dives into C-level leadership with Tim Cowden, who is the president and CEO at the Kansas City Area Development Council. The two of them tackle topics like deciding to go for that number one spot in the organization and the importance of the team around the CEO, as well as three big things that are part of the CEO role and so much more. So let's listen in with Carla and Tim.
Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Sones, and I am really, really pumped because one of my favorite economic developers ever is with us today on the podcast. And I know this podcast is going to be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be insightful, and I'm excited to share you with anybody who doesn't know you or anybody who needs a little bit of you in their life. So with no further ado, I would like to introduce our guest for today, Tim Cowden from the Kansas City Area Development Council. Did I get that exactly right?
Carla, beautifully.
Okay, perfect. It's a lot of letters, but I follow you all closely, so I feel like it's like right here in my head. So Tim, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'm so excited to pick your brain about all things economic development and to hear a little bit about what you all have going on down in Kansas City.
Well, Carla, it's a pleasure to be invited. It's great to see you. So while we're in COVID and it's a little more muted, there's still a tremendous amount of excitement in Kansas City, not just about our football team, but about the direction of our region. And we're right in the middle of a lot of it. And it's exciting times, to say the least.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about that. But before we dive into everything going on in Kansas City, I want to make sure that our listening audience has a better understanding of how you ended up in Kansas City. So will you tell a little bit of your kind of the quick nitty gritty story of how you got into this economic development gig and how it led you to Kansas City?
Well, it was a long and winding road, as they say. And some of my friends who know me well and have known me for years can attest, but those that have met me more recently, I tell the story that I always wanted to be in economic development. And I think I've even told this story on this podcast. I won't go into too much detail about it, but I was just fascinated with cities and states and growth and real estate, but I really didn't know what that meant. So I'm in college, I'm thinking, okay, I want to be, I guess, a city manager. It's the only thing I could think of that had anything to do with what I thought I wanted to do with my life and my career. But I got into city management courses and, this might not be for me. But then one day in the journalism school, because I was at J School at the University of Oklahoma, I saw a little index card up on the wall advertising an internship for the Norman Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Council. And I thought, that's it. So I got my little suit on and put my briefcase in my hand, and I drove down there, and a gentleman who recently passed away, I'm sure several folks on this podcast know or knew, Ken Moore. So he was my first mentor. He hired me, and then I went to Wichita Falls, Texas, out of school, and then got out of economic development for about 4 or 5 years, and then was really fortunate to get back in. I went out to Utah. I was in Utah for about 3.5-4 years for the Economic Development Corporation of Utah, a great organization. Teresa Foxley is a good friend of mine, Chris Roybal out there, still stay in touch with them. And then in 1998, I had the chance to come to Kansas City. Bob Marcus was the CEO, Steve Johnson, who now runs the program in St. Louis, talked to me and made me an offer. And I brought my family to KC. That was almost 23 years ago.
So you landed in KC and you started working under other leadership. And then what was that experience like? Because now you're running the ship over there in Kansas City. So what was that experience like, you know, as people were leaving and you were the succession plan, you know, how did that feel like once you kind of were in that position of, I'm going to throw my name in the ring for this position long term?
Well, I ran our sales group for several years. So starting in 2000 up until 2015, I was recruiting. And I've got a great team, had a great team then. You know, Jill McCarthy still with our organization and others at KCADC. But Bob Marcus had shared with me and a few others back probably 10 years ago that he was going to be retiring at some point in the not too distant future. And I thought about it. And I think everyone that's in a number two or a 2A position in an organization is, do I really want to commit to this? One, can I do it? You know, can I muster up all the energy to make it happen? Would I be accepted? You know, would I get the job? And I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to do it, Carla, then I really needed to put my hat in the ring, as they say, and go for it. Mm-hmm. And it was scary because, you know, some of the best jobs in economic development are the number two jobs, right? You know, I have all the hassle and headache, you know, the number one. But I always wanted to go after and accept that challenge to see, you know, could I be a number one? Could I be a CEO? And every day is a challenge. You know, nothing is guaranteed. And I'm very fortunate to have worked in a place like Kansas City, in an organization like KCADC that's well-funded, has had excellent leadership, both volunteer and professional leadership for many years. You know, Bob Marcus's, in a sense, his coaching tree, you know, is spread out, you know, far and wide. Gentlemen like Martin Meany and then Steve Johnson, I mentioned, and some great women leaders in our business, Kimberly Young, Jill McCarthy, and others. It was just a great, great opportunity that I thought, hey, I need to go for it. And I'm glad that I did.
I'm so glad that you did too, because I feel like you inspire so many people, including myself. And I, you know, everybody, a lot of people know I'm in the same boat, like trying to make a lot of decisions myself, and ultimately ended up deciding it wasn't the right time for me, but I do think it will be someday. And I think knowing that other people have done it and that it, you can do it and it takes courage to do it and it has to be the right time to do it, but that it, you've been so successful leading the organization. It's, you've left, I mean, a lot of us are admiring your work and the organization's growth over the, especially the last 5 years. Right. The innovation that has come out of your team has just really hit the national scene.
Well, Carla, two things. One, you're really kind. And the CEO or the leader or the coach always gets too much credit. And you said something in your comments there about the team. You know, I am so fortunate. I am so fortunate to have the team around me that I do, because they are incredible. They are incredible. And that's one thing that I learned just by watching, you know, various CEOs in economic development and others in business, to make sure that you have good people around you. And I think as a CEO, our job is really threefold. Number one, and most importantly, it's to attract and then retain the best group of individuals, the best team that you can. It's about talent. Secondly, it's, hey, my job is to go out and make sure that the organization has the resources for that team to be able to do what they are paid to do and what their passion is every day. So to go out and make sure those resources are there. And then thirdly, is to set a vision, you know, so that everybody within the organization, within our region, those that are tied to economic development, understand what our role is. You know, what role do we play? And I think if we keep it simple and not complicated, that things seem to work out. And certainly listen. You know, you've got to listen. I mean, there's so many things out there to just listen for. You listen, you know, from your leadership, certainly from your team, you know, from your community. You just got to keep those ears open. My dad told me a long time ago, he said, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Use them in proportion.
Yeah.
I think in as economic developers, that's really something to remember, that oftentimes they don't want to hear us talk. You know, you have to listen, and really not hear, but listen, and then be able to apply what you hear in the right ways for your community and your organization. Believe me, it's far from perfect. I am reminded every day things that maybe I didn't listen well enough to, but that's something that we try to do organizationally and try to carry that forward individually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you at the very beginning, you kind of threw out the teaser of some of the great things that were happening in Kansas City. And I'm curious, I want to hear, you know, what you all are working on, but I also want to hear how you have helped, or maybe how just even the pandemic has impacted your work and how you as a leader have kind of navigated some of the challenges of the pandemic, whether that be with your funding or projects slowing down. I don't know exactly how it's impacted you all, but I'm sure it has in some way. So what are you working on and how have you had to pivot?
Well, there's a lot of things that we're working on, and I know we have limited time, but I'm really excited about the work that, you know, in our organization, like a lot of economic development groups, KCADC represents a region, and it's a big region. It's 18 counties in both Kansas and Missouri. So we're truly bi-state, and about 50% of our population is on either side of the state line. So unlike some regions that might have two or three states and there might be one dominant part of the market, here it's pretty equal. So we always remember that in any sort of organizational outlook or application that we do, it's transparency and making sure that we're being fair to everyone. So I'm really excited about our regional brand that we unveiled about a year ago. It's called our Heartland Initiative. And it's been great to again, bring the entirety of the region together behind one thing. So you think about those that know the Kansas City market. I mean, two states that historically have quite a rivalry, you know, and you have a lot of different influences, you know, big cities, suburbs, certainly exurbs and rural areas. And I don't care if you're in a county with three or four communities, it's oftentimes pretty challenging to get everybody on board with one approach or one direction. So to get everyone behind one regional brand, the KC Heart, I'm really excited about that and how we're taking it into different markets, how we're messaging around that. I was on a podcast last week with two individuals that I respect greatly, you know, Kenny over in Columbus and Teresa in Salt Lake. So I was talking about this very thing, how we're going into markets in the Midwest, on the coast, college towns, and messaging why Kansas City, not only a great place to move your business, but a great place to pursue your life and your career.
Yeah, I mean, we had a chance at Economics not this past year, but the previous year when we were in Charleston, a member of your team came and really presented some of the talent attraction initiatives. And it's your team has really, in my opinion, has really led the way in terms of getting really creative about how to attract new talent to a market and to do that through local residents that may have some name recognition and to kind of tell those stories, those artist stories, and, you know, just what different people are doing. I think it's really, really cool.
Well, Carla, you're talking about Jessica Palm.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Palm is our VP of communications, and she does a lot of strategy work for us around talent attraction. She is excellent. And again, she's one of these rising stars, rising leaders, a female leader in economic development that you're just now beginning to hear from. You'll hear a lot from her in the years.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you talked a little bit about being in two different states. And Tim, I have a lot of respect for economic developers right now that are straddling state lines, because it feels like just handling one political system is a lot right now, let alone like the multiple different, you know, city, state, you know, and local systems that all fall within that. So I'm curious to hear from you how you are navigating relationships with all of these various elected officials and how you make sure that they kind of understand what your organization is doing and hopefully can make good decisions up in your state capitals as it relates to economic development. How does your organization kind of handle that relationship with elected officials?
You know, we handle relationships with elected officials, business leaders, you name it, economic development leaders. You know, we take a real intentional approach with that, Carla. We need to be able to communicate to a lot of different people about what we're doing. And again, back to when I was talking about listening, hey, you want to listen to them. You have to listen to so many different voices out there. And political leadership is important to us, but business leadership is really important. The economic developer that's in a community in our region is really important for us to listen to and make sure that we have an active relationship with. So that's one of the things I love most about being in this position in economic development is it's so varied. How many times have you heard that from other colleagues in our business that they love the fact that every day is different? You know, and with regard to political leadership, hey, we just want to make sure that we are positioning our organization as one that helps, that drives results for the region. It's not about us. It's always going to be about the political leader. It's going to be about our elected officials. They're the ones who deservedly are going to get the credit. We're servant leaders. It's not about us. And that's the approach that our organization always takes. Where what I believe, you know, in terms of politics, it doesn't matter. It's like your football coach at your university. Who cares what his political affiliation is? You don't want to know, you know, what his political affiliation is. What you want to know is he or she getting the results? Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters, is making sure that our team is helping drive results, because it's just not about KCADC. We've got so many great economic developers just in the Kansas City region alone, and state capitals in Kansas and Missouri. We all got to be pulling on the rope in the same direction.
Yeah, I love that. So you, I mean, it's so clear to me, and I could literally talk to you all day, and you know that because I call you sometimes and talk your ear off. But I know you have just so much energy and passion behind not just Kansas City, but just economic development as a whole. And two questions for you. One, how do you kind of keep that energy alive, especially when it's been like a really hard year to make decisions and there's been a lot of change? And I know change is hard for all humans. After a certain amount of change, you kind of get that change fatigue that sets in. But as a leader, you're also trying to navigate how other people on your team are feeling and doing. So how have you personally kind of kept your energy up this year as you kind of dealt with this, all of the changes that this year has brought?
You know, Carla, that's a great question. And, you know, it's really day to day, you know, because all of us as leaders, I don't care what position of leadership that you are, people are looking to you. You know, maybe you're just the leader of your household. You know, you've got to provide energy to your family or to your group. Or in my case, you know, I've got a family and then I've got a group of people that look to me to, you know, for leadership, you know, certainly direction. But I look to them for a lot of the answers, to be quite honest. And you asked about earlier about the pandemic, and I don't think I really answered that question. You know, we had to pivot. Everybody had to pivot. Everybody was moving into uncharted waters. And what I miss a lot about, you know, normalcy is I do get a lot of energy from being around people. And I miss that. You know, I miss seeing my team in the office. So the next best thing is, you know, what we do virtually. So you have to really, you know, dig deep. And that's a cliche, but cliches are always rooted in truth. But you have to dig deep. And you have to generate that energy yourself, because your team is looking at you. They're looking at you all the time. They're listening. You know, words matter. And sometimes I might say something, they matter, you know, and how you're looking, you know, how you're reacting to a situation. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to be as transparent as I possibly can and to let our team, now these are all really smart people. They're very accomplished people. Not going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I want to be really transparent about the challenges that we're facing. And when everything hit the fan back in March of last year, and all organizations, ours right there, having to redo our budgets and project out, model out what revenue looked like. And I was very open with our team, everybody on our team. We have, we're doing them more often now. It's every other week for sure. We do heartbeat calls where we have the entire team on a Zoom call. We were doing those like 3 or 4 times a week early on, but now our teams are meeting, you know, individual teams are meeting, so we don't need to do it as much. But just being transparent, sharing with them, hey, this is what is bothering me right now. And always remembering that the main thing's the main thing. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure that each of us and our responsibilities, we're focused on our main thing. And then the main thing for the organization should figure itself out. You know, I love goals and big on goals, but it's about incremental progress every day, doing your very best every day. And again, my dad told me this a long time ago. I'll talk about my dad today, but he said, this applies to organizations, to individuals. He said, you know, Tim, some days you're going to come drive home from work and you're just going to feel great because you won the day. Other days, it's going to be, okay, it's kind of a push. Then other days, you're going to get your ass kicked, right? And you don't want the days that you get your backside kicked to over, you know, to outnumber the other days. And that's really what you have to do organizationally. Some days as an organization, you know, we win and we did some great things. Other days, it's kind of ordinary time. Other days, like, hey, you got your butt kicked that day. But what did you learn from it and apply forward? So keeping that energy up, personally, I have to go to the gym. You know, I because I don't see, you know, people, and COVID's been hard and I was walking a lot. But now that it's cold, so you know what? I'm willing to take the chance because I need that mental clarity, you know, to go to the gym. So I mask up and I go. And that's where I get my energy. But I love talking to my seeing my folks, you know, on Zoom calls. I draw a lot of energy from people.
Yeah. I love that even your team Zoom calls are branded, the heartbeat.
Yeah.
The heartbeat calls.
And we've got one on Thursday and we're going to have everybody dressed in their best Chiefs attire. So your son would fit in well with his Mahomes jersey, Carla.
Yes. I'll have to send you all a picture of him in his Mahomes jersey because he's hilarious. So such a big fan. Okay. One last question, and then I promise I'll get you out the door, but I have to ask this question because I feel like I have to ask. So one of the things when I first met you early on, I could tell that you were not only just passionate about Kansas City, but passionate about economic development and the people. And you've talked about that a lot today, you know, the people and your team. And I know that you care about kind of the crew coming behind you, not just in Kansas City, but kind of our pipeline of future economic developers, like the future Tims and the future Kennys of the world. Like what excites you about the future of economic development? And how do you feel like as a profession, we can kind of harvest that pipeline of talent so that we have great leaders for decades to come?
Well, I that's a great question. And, you know, let me try to answer it this way, that I look at my organization and we have some really incredible young talent that's just getting involved with economic development that really didn't understand what economic development was. They got involved because of marketing or sales or what have you. And to see them really begin to blossom and get it. And I remember that's the way I was, you know, when I was an intern and I knew, I thought I wanted to do this business, but I really didn't know and how to do it. And when I started down in Texas, I tell you, I learned a lot about failure. You know, I learned a lot about failure in that first job because the economy turned over and the organization, the community had a lot of success in the past. And, it, you know, the global economy was impacting this community in a rough way. And I learned, wow, you know, things just aren't always easy. And with the pandemic and the things that have occurred in our country and our world the last year, to be able to draw on that, you know, and apply it forward and looking at our people. And that's what I share with our young folks is that, you know, make sure that you're handling adversity, that there's always going to be adversity. You know, what can you learn from it? We're always learning, right? And applying that forward. I I see, you know, people in the economic development community, young folks that are moving up. What a great career this is. Because I remember, you know, I was a 23, 24-year-old young guy a couple of years out of college, and I was a VP, mm-hmm. you know? So your ability to get in and have a lot of responsibility early on, and the people who you get to work with, you know, the leaders of businesses, oftentimes you get into get to work for a corporation and you're so buried down on the depth chart that, you know, it takes you years to get up to where you're having that sort of engagement with leaders of the business or leaders of the community. And I think that's fascinating about economic development. And then I'll close with this, that, you know, young people who are coming up are changing the business. You know, I have a shelf life. I know that, you know, there is a date stamped on me somewhere where I know it's going to be time for me to move on. And somebody else is going to need to come in because they're going to have fresh ideas and they're going to have energy, and it will be right for my organization. It'll be right for my community. And I want to know internally that I want to make that decision, right? I think all of us want to be able to make our own decisions. And that's one thing that I never want to be asked to leave, right? And I see young talent that's moving up through our organization. It makes me feel really good about the future. I'm not ready to leave anytime soon, but I know that there's some really good talent that's going to bring some great ideas because our industry is really changing.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. And I personally can say that I don't feel like you're not allowed in Carla Sohn's world, at least, to expire anytime soon. Like, your shelf life must live on for many, many more years, because I feel like we all have a lot to learn from you. So,
well, I
can't
hope
go anywhere.
Not for a while, and certainly for several years. But, you know, when that day comes, I'm going to look at all the talent that's coming up through our organization and in the industry and feel really good about the future.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again for being on our podcast today. And
well, thank you, Carla.
All right. Well, you go take care of your family and your team, and we'll talk to you soon.
Carla, thank you. I appreciate everything that you do and Faye and your organization. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.